Thanks for tuning into Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along.
Well, hello and welcome to another conversation about meaningful things. My name is Steve. Happy to have you around the table with us, whether it's morning or afternoon or maybe evening that you're listening. So glad that you decided to join the conversation. I've got a couple of other voices that you'll hear as we discuss today. And I see over to my, they're waiting to know, am I going left or right? Since I hear Alex snickering, I'm going to say, hey, Alex, how are you?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Yeah, and in the silent mode over to the other direction is my friend Brian.
Hey. What's up?
Hey. Good to see you guys today.
We're
looking forward to a conversation.
Yeah.
Today.
I was just having flashbacks to middle school and high school when the teacher goes to call on someone and you're trying to not make eye contact.
Avoid eye contact.
Like, how can I be not so obvious that I'm avoiding eye contact that they then pick me, but also not too like engaged that they definitely pick me?
Yeah.
You got to be in that sweet spot.
Don't make eye contact.
Mild engagement.
Exactly.
So, I don't need to call on that.
Oh, I have to check my backpack for something. I'm busy.
That always backfired for me. Like, I would try to you know, I'm going to avoid eye contact or whatever, and then I always got picked.
Oh, man. Did you have those students in classes that they were like always every question that was asked, their hand was up, they're like, I know the answer, call on me. Yeah. I wasn't one of those.
I feel like I was in like first grade and then quickly it became they knew I probably, which worked in my favor because I didn't know the answer all the time. I knew it a quarter of the time, but I gave enough of the answers I knew, so then they were just like, oh,
there you go.
I skirted by.
He's good. I don't need to reinforce things with him.
But if everyone wasn't giving answers, then they would sometimes call on me.
Yeah.
And I would have to try to figure it out on the fly.
I mean, it's okay.
That's right.
Sometimes life's about figuring
that's
it out
right.
on the fly.
That's right. Skill. Exactly.
Just got to put all those pieces together, I guess, right? Which is, you know, something honestly we're all trying to do, right? Put all those pieces together as we go through life. A lot of the things we talk about here on the podcast hopefully help you to do that, maybe connect some dots along the way.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we've seen in recent years is, I mean, it sounds like it's the opposite of that, but it's not really. It's actually trying to put the pieces together, but after you've sort of taken a closer look at them. And the term that we hear sometimes is deconstruction or deconstructing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that may be a new term for some. So when people use that, they talk about deconstruction, you know, what do you think they're talking about? How do we understand what that actually means?
Yeah. So for today's purposes, we wanted to be like pretty clear from the get-go, right? Just what we're talking about. I like definitions, so this is Merriam-Webster's definition, or not Merriam-Webster, but a dictionary definition, which I would agree with this definition. So deconstruction refers to the process of critically examining and potentially dismantling previously held beliefs, doctrines, and practices, often leading to a reevaluation or even abandonment of certain beliefs. Hmm. So certain or all beliefs. So I would say what we're talking about in terms of deconstruction is for somebody walking through a process of going, I used to believe this, whether I grew up believing this or found it, started living my life this way, and for whatever reason, I am starting piece by piece to sort of dismantle and reject that previously held belief. In today's context, we're talking about maybe that person walking through, they grew up, you know, in the faith, being a or identifying as a Christian, and then deciding to go, you know, actually, I reject that. I no longer believe that to be true. And I've seen it where it's either I reject everything or I no longer believe that the Bible is God's word or that church is important for whatever reason. There's lots of different reasons, but it's that act of dismantling previous held belief.
Yeah, yeah. When you're in your walk with faith, things happen in life, whether it's from a person, so someone you looked up to in the faith that kind of had a falling, whatever that is, or a belief that you held close or believed to be close that you've discovered isn't true, or whatever it is. That's kind of what I see most of the time, is someone grew up with a full belief system that said all of this, and then they noticed a crack or something in that foundation and said, ooh, I guess I need to, as the word says, deconstruct, so kind of take it apart.
Yeah.
One of the things that I see a lot of the time is deconstruction has the word construction in it, but often it seems more of like a demolition, and that's it, rather than a, hey, dismantling, evaluating.
Yeah.
So I really like that definition, that it is a whole, hey, I am taking this apart, but so that I can evaluate it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, like the definition said, dispose of some of it, or just kind of reconceptualize it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a important distinction, Brian, I think, because some people are in demolition mode. There's like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to smash this apart. I'm just whatever, for whatever reason. But the true kind of intent in deconstruction is, no, I want to take this almost systematically. I just want to look at these held beliefs and what are they based on? How do they tie together?
Yeah.
Are there some things that I maybe assumed about a belief, or I thought a certain way because I was told that, but now I'm reexamining that, and how does that fit in? And, you know, actually that part doesn't fit in. And so I need to reconstruct. I think, you know, the difference between demolition and deconstruction is typically deconstruction then is followed by some form of reconstruction.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going to put these held beliefs together this way, based on my critical examination of them. And, so if you know someone or you're thinking about, you know, I got questions about faith, I got questions about systems of belief, I would say it's okay to have those questions, and it's okay to think critically about what we believe. I think scripture would tell us to do that. And so I wouldn't be afraid of that, but I would be, in the midst of that, encouraging to not be just demolishing things, but to take the time to think critically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I definitely want us to talk to that person who maybe is walking with someone who is in the midst of their own version of this deconstruction for themselves. And how do we lovingly walk alongside somebody with grace, but also with truth. But can we maybe talk for a moment just about, like, to that person who's maybe struggling with this themselves and going, like, there are things, maybe I can back up. Like, why do you guys think so many people, it seems, are going through this sort of crisis of faith and going, I no longer believe this to be true. Whether it's, you know, they think Christianity completely is not for them, or the Bible is not God's word, or there's a lot of versions of this that I've heard, and walked with people in. Why do you think somebody comes to the point in their life where they feel like I'm going to reject this entirely? What are some reasons why you think people struggle with this or end up here?
Yeah, I think there's a handful of reasons, quite honestly. I think, you know, one of the most obvious ones is someone has some sort of crisis that occurs.
Yeah.
And that creates a lot of disillusionment for them. And so they think, okay, well, this isn't playing out the way I thought it would. So maybe it's not true, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. whether it's an illness or a relational crisis.
Right.
There's lots of ways we face crises. Right. And so
yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons. Mm-hmm. I also think we live in a culture that has shifted quite a bit. And I mm-hmm. think the effect of culture on belief systems is
yeah.
not to be underestimated. So those are a couple of reasons. I'm sure you yeah. guys can think of others why this seems to be
yeah.
More of a thing. Maybe I'll throw one in, just one more to give you guys time to
sure.
think a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think the identification of this particular thing that mm-hmm. way, I think people over centuries have always thought critically about what they believe and don't believe, but the identification yeah. of it as a thing,
right.
I think creates some curiosity, mm. some interest in it, even from a, you know, I don't know if public image is the right term, but it yeah. just creates more curiosity about that whole subject.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a kind of a wave. My friend had a crisis, and so they're kind of starting to dismantle some of their beliefs, and so because I see them doing that,
sure.
if they're wearing anchor for you, you start doing that. I do think we just covered a lot of the definition, and mm-hmm. We are all on the same page that definitely ask questions, definitely seek out the truth, read your Bible, all of that stuff. A lot of people who say that they're Christians don't want people to do that for whatever reason, mm-hmm. And so maybe you are a person who is like, I was taught growing up in the church to not ask questions.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I started having them, that felt like it went against my belief. And so
yeah.
that's tough. So then you quite literally do have to deconstruct that mm-hmm. that framework that shouldn't have been there.
And that's one of those things, right? Oh, so maybe I am allowed to ask questions. So the deconstructing of just the kind of environment, mm-hmm. faith environment that, you know, was mm-hmm. not common for us, but, you know, what was our prevalent
yeah.
faith environment like? And are there aspects of that that really, you know, for whatever reason you question and then look back at?
Yeah.
And what do you, I think the other question in this process is, what am I evaluating against? What's
yeah.
the standard to which I
That's,
make decisions about things?
Yep.
Is it just, well, it's whatever I feel? Or is there some universal standard and basis
yeah.
for answering those questions?
Yeah, absolutely. This topic specifically is really close to my heart because I have a lot of people that I grew up with that they've mm-hmm. gone through their own version of this, and I don't know if it was just the generation or what, but you know, I grew up in the church, we went through kind of the, you know, ultra conservative purity movement, which there's merit to a lot of that, but like anything, things become, I think like pivotal issues that maybe there's room for grace. But there were a lot of my friends who we all grew up kind of in that same environment that kind of grew up and got out of that bubble, and all of a sudden, you know, they're kind of hit smack in the face with the world and didn't really have any, they weren't really equipped. It was all like, well, mm-hmm. it's my parents' faith. I just go to church cause they make me, and you know, culturally, yeah, I'm a Christian, but there was never a rooting, I think, for them where it was like, this is my faith. So I think there's that. It's, was I ever really rooted? Did I make this, did I make this personally for me, or was it just a, this is what our family does, so I do it too? And then there's that deconstruction. I also think what I've seen a lot, and this has personally affected some people close to me, it's, there was a lot of emphasis and trust put in, church leadership, where it's, you know, my relationship with God is kind of tandem with this person that is leading me and guiding me in the faith. And that's, you know, that's important to have people that you look up to. But specifically, you know, somebody really close to me, they had an experience where that church leader, did some really awful things. And because of that, they decided, you know what, if that can happen to them, like, I don't want anything to do with what they were about, and I'm going to reject this whole thing. And so it was almost like throwing the baby out with the bathwater and going, you know, I'm going to reject everything because of what happened. I don't want anything to do with this, which I think is a lot of people's story, where it's like, because of the pain and the impact of that person, faith completely is rejected, which again, I think is unfortunate, because there isn't allowed to be then a really honest examination of okay, what was true, what was not, and then really truly filter through that versus just rejecting all of it.
Yeah,
and I do agree. There are times and opportunities, I suppose, where people have an overemphasis on personality.
Yeah,
and none of us are perfect. So whenever you have an overemphasis on personality, you run the risk and the probability of embracing something that's not accurate.
Yeah,
and this is nothing new, by the way. You know, in the New Testament, you know, there was a question of, you know, some say I follow Apollos, some say Paul, and basically the outcome of that is stop focusing on personality.
Yeah.
Follow Christ. Christ is not divided. If there's this division among personalities, that's not God's desire. It's not his intent. So, you know, I think that's one of the ways that, one of the reasons that caused people to look back and go, wow, wait a minute here, because there's been an overemphasis on personality rather than on the person of Christ.
Yeah. And we talked about that a little bit when we talked about kind of Christian celebrity culture,
that's all of that.
There's not many things that kind of get my blood boiling, but one of the few is definitely someone misrepresenting Christ so much so that, it can cause someone else to completely just throw out, like you said, the baby with the bathwater. I kind of see it as like food poisoning. Like you go to this thing that the food is great, but one time something was off, and because of that, you can't eat it ever again.
Yeah,
because you're like, yeah, like no, but like that is still fine. Did you tell the story of the chocolate with your coworker before, right? On the podcast?
I don't remember.
I've heard it, but I don't know if it was on the podcast.
I don't know. You don't have to tell it now, but the long and the short of
it
was,
Brian's going to tell it.
That just to get through it quickly.
It's not my story, so go for it.
Okay. It was just a woman who doesn't like chocolate at all, and it came out that it was because growing up, they didn't have it often, and one time they were all dividing it amongst her and her many siblings and her brother. Instead of giving her chocolate, gave her a laxative chocolate.
It's awful.
And so bad. It's a horrible story. And so she just can't stand it. Even though normal chocolate wouldn't do that to her. But it's a weird, perfect parallel to what can happen with us of, hey, like this thing is amazing and I want you to experience this. But because someone else misrepresented it, it gave you a bad taste in your mouth. And now you don't want to have anything to do with the real thing.
Yeah.
That is, what can happen is that you go, well, this person is horrible and they did horrible things. And all of that is true. Jesus didn't do that. But if you can't disconnect those, then it makes sense. It makes sense that you would want to say, hey, I'm going to distance myself.
Yeah.
One word I like to try to use instead of deconstruct is renovation. Because I try to get it through to all the students here that you need to have that foundation. Absolutely ask questions. Always have the foundation of God. Like God loves you. God is real. He sent his son to die for you. All of those things never change. We can build framework on that, and hopefully that framework is good, and then we can build rooms onto that framework. We can always switch around those rooms. You can always change paint colors, but as long as you have that foundation, that's what's important. Don't demolish the whole thing because one corner was getting moldy, and so you're like, all right, I don't want the house of Christianity at all anymore. I'm gonna go over to a different place.
Absolutely. Well, and I think it's important to say too, I mean, if you're listening and you've been hurt by somebody in the church or somebody that you looked up to as a leader or spiritual figure, we are so sorry, because that, again, I agree with you, Brian, like that breaks my heart when I see that when I see somebody misrepresenting Christ and then having the ripple effect of people distancing themselves from relationship with God mm-hmm. because of that, that what they did was wrong. And that is not the heart of God for you. And also, yeah, I think this whole topic of deconstruction, you said renovation. I've also heard this phrase that I've really liked. It's the term detangling. Like we all need times in our life where we need to have an honest view of our belief system and go, okay, what do I hold as a belief about God or myself or the church or scripture that just honestly has been shaped by a misview of God's character? And we need to detangle ourselves from that. And again, like for me growing up, like there are some things that I look back on and go, this was taught to me, or this was maybe not directly taught but caught, or things that I believed that, like, as I understand the character of God and read his word, I'm like, this is not in line with who he is. Like, I can reject that,
right?
And I can continue to try to live out my faith in him in a more honest way. And it, yeah, that involves asking hard questions. And the thing that I've found to be true about God and his character is he's not afraid of our questions. He's big enough to handle them. If you've ever been taught that you can't ask certain questions, that God doesn't want you to do that, like he's big enough to handle those. And I love, I maybe have said this before, something one of my mentors used to say, you know, that questions lead to answers, answers lead to truth. And as Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And I believe that's true.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that has driven some people to deconstruction is they've just been told, just believe it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Don't question it.
Yep.
And, you know, we just don't see that in scripture.
Yeah.
We go back to the Old Testament and Job, you know, Job's interaction with his friends, the conclusion of that. One of the things that God says to those three friends is, you know, I'm angry at you because you misrepresented me.
Yeah.
Like God does not want to be misrepresented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that we need to be careful of even in the roles that we're in as leaders or just as a believer. How do you represent God? And are you doing that accurately?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think the encouragement to go back to the scriptures, go beyond just what that person said.
Yeah.
If you stop there, you're short circuiting your process.
So absolutely.
You got to go beyond just what the person said. And sometimes people misspeak, you know, they say, they just say the wrong thing, not intending, but then sometimes they are just leading people down an incorrect road. And so, absolutely. Be willing to ask the questions. God's not afraid of that. Mm-hmm. He welcomes that. And so if one of the things that is a hang up for you is, I was always told I just got to believe it, just be quiet and accept it.
Mm-hmm.
That itself is not an accurate biblical position to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you're in your own process of deconstruction, like I think one thing I've struggled with sometimes, and maybe this segues into it, how do you help someone who's walking through this themselves? Is some of my friends have not taken an honest approach to this. Again, it's the I'm hurt, which is valid. Like this person that I trusted, they broke my trust, and beyond that, like they're causing me to rethink everything that I've believed to be true. Like that's a big deal.
Right.
But it's not being intellectually honest to just go, then all of it's bad. Like I got hurt. So it's I think if you're in the midst of this too, like don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Be honest and take an honest approach to this. Cause again, there's an element of this that I think is admirable to go, I want to live my life in the most honest way possible. So I'm not just going to blindly believe something because somebody said you should believe this, but like, I want to know what I believe is true and to have that solid foundation. Like that's something that like we've all said, I think we agree that God, God desires us to do, but don't short circuit the process and just go, I got hurt by this person who is not perfect.
And in some way is a quote representative of God.
Sure.
But, you know, as a religious figure or leader or someone of faith that you had some trust in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, like I think the hurt is valid, but don't let that hurt cause you to completely throw everything out and not take the time to examine what you believe. I think that's a important distinction.
You know, when I was about 11, I was in a serious car accident. Mm. I still get in cars today.
Right.
Like that didn't stop me. I didn't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
I don't think we should do that spiritually either.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder how many babies got thrown out with the bathwater before that phrase had to be coined.
Guys, please stop.
But yeah, you said the word process, and that's what it is. It's a process.
Yeah.
And it is, I don't want to like downplay the pain that people go through. It is also though easier to just say, all right, nope, I'm out.
Yeah.
It's easier to say that I'm stressed. I'm dealing with a lot and I don't want to have to deal with the whole process of figuring out what is good and what's not. So I'm just going to throw it all out.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start fresh. But you're throwing out God from your life if you do that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it is super important to say, I know that that's not God. I know that wasn't God. Be mad. And honestly, you can be mad to God and he will hold you and help you in the pain, in the crying. Mm-hmm. And then he'll be there to support you. If you run, he's there waiting for you. But it's much better to say, all right, like that was really, really bad, God.
Yeah.
Help me with this.
Absolutely. So can we, in our final moments, just speak to that person who's maybe walking with somebody that is dealing with their own version of this? How do we lovingly partner with people that are deconstructing their faith? What does that look like to walk with somebody, maybe balancing grace, but also truth as well?
Well, I mean,
we do that?
Truth's the most important thing, right? Ultimately, at the end of the day, we want to make decisions based on what's true.
Right.
And not just speculation or guesswork. So,
You
know, be willing, I think, to have maybe awkward conversations. Mm-hmm. Be willing to say, let's look at that together.
Yeah.
And be willing to look long enough to say, but why do I believe that? What's that based on? Is that a valid thing for my belief to be based on, or isn't it? And so I think that's one of the things, be willing to get to the truth with people.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Represent Christ. We've said this a bunch of times. Just being there is huge. And yeah, like I said, like I try to do with all our students, just remind them of the core of it all. It's so funny that the Pharisees tended to just add on and on and on and on and on. And we see now the people that had that happen to them, all these rules and stuff get added on, that when one of them turns out to be stupid, that they go, all right, I don't want any of it. Anyway, be the one that goes, hey, Jesus loves you. Talk about how God is working in your life. It actually, we already brought up Hank before, but he's relatively new here. And just, I was very moved by just hearing him and his wife and their just matter-of-factness of following God. Like, we always know that we're just going to follow him wherever, and so now we're here. And I'm like, like that's so cool. It's such a, it's one sentence, but it makes me go, I think I can forget that sometimes, that like, no, like just listen and just do it. So talking about your walk with God with them, not being pushy, not being like, don't you want God to?
Yeah.
But yeah, don't shun them.
Yeah. Either. Yeah. I think maybe just to piggyback, the encouragement I would have is just be willing to spend time hearing their story. I think for a lot of people that are walking through this themselves, they've just been used to just, you know, your questions or your struggles are not welcome, whether it's verbally spoken or just by other people's actions. In that, I think only further isolates and confirms that, yeah, you know what, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. And to be that person that maybe is a good representation, like you said, Brian, of Jesus, and how would he approach somebody who is wrestling with faith? I think he would meet them right there in their struggle. And don't underestimate the power of prayer. This is my other one. It's like when you have somebody in your life, maybe you have that prodigal son or daughter or coworker, don't underestimate the power of just praying for them and asking God to move in their heart. Oftentimes that changes our perspective on how we approach them. Yeah. But I think God does amazing things as we pray and intercede for people, because his heart is that every single person would come to know him. Not all the rules, not all the things and reasons why they rejected faith or are rejecting it, but his desire is that they would know him. And so that is where we want to leave our conversation today. Whether you find yourself in the midst of maybe a crisis in your belief system or faith, or you know somebody that is, we just want to encourage you, you're not alone. And if you would love to have any more future conversations, we would love to talk with you, give you some resources as well. You can reach us at podcast@victorchurch.org. We check that weekly and would love to have continued conversations with you. But with that being said, we hope that you guys have an amazing rest of your day, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Yep. See ya.
Take care.